Some people that call themselves Christians walk away from their faith within the first 6 months. Within the first 6 months. Now, we heard some testimonies last night of how merciful that God is. When people walk away, that He's merciful to bring them back. But there's no guarantee that He's going to. And so, you need to be aware of that. And you need to listen to what your parents have told you growing up and what your pastors have told you. And you know, when it really gets down to it, there's two choices that we have. You know, we hear sermons about setting up idols, about your job or this entertainment or that. And all that's true, but there's really two choices. Either you are going to put God first in your life, or you're going to put yourself first. And that's kind of what Brother Isaac said last night. Because if you set up an idol, if it's entertainment or your friends or whatever it is, let's just say it's entertainment, or let's say it's sports, you're doing that because you enjoy it. And that is what you want to do. So you're setting yourself up first. In Judges 21:25, we read of a day when there was no king in Israel. And what did every man do? Did they go to the house of worship? No. Did they seek out godly friends? No. What did they do? They did what was right. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. In other words, every man set themselves up as the object of what they wanted to do. They would make their, you know, we know that Christ is on the king, or Christ is on his throne, and he is the king. And we can't remove him. We can in our own minds. And when we do that, we set ourselves up as the king, and we're going to do whatever it is that we want to do. When we're the king, we do just what comes natural to us. And that's never good. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. Right. And so, that's not some of the time. That's not when you feel like it. That's something that you do every single day. And you don't have the right, you don't have the authority to say, I'm going to take a vacation from that. And I'm going to take a vacation into darkness, and I'm going to dwell there until I get out of college, or until I get a little older and a little more mature. It's everybody's responsibility to follow the commandments of God each and every day. Now, I want to go over to Exodus chapter 20. And here we have the Ten Commandments have just been given to Moses. And down in verse 24, and what I'm going to read has to do with setting up God first in worship. But worship is one aspect of our lives, but the principle goes across to every facet and every aspect of our lives. And in verse 24, we read, an altar of earth shalt thou make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon. Okay, so the Lord is telling Moses to set up an altar to worship, for worship. That's the purpose of an idol, right? And sacrifices. So let's just skip down to verse 25. And the Lord says, and if thou will make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. And by the way, this is one of the verses that I like to go to when people question me as to why we worship the way we do. Why do we sing a cappella? Why do we have closed communion? And we could go on and on. And this is the foundational principle right here of how we worship in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. The Lord says to make an altar of unhewn stone. And in my mind, I have this vision, this picture of these river rocks that are rounded, held together with a little bit of mortar. It's uneven. It doesn't really look good to you and I. There's no straight edges on it because they can't cut the stone because they can't put their tools on it. They can't shape it. They can't make it a shape that they want. They just have to take what stones there have been formed naturally. They can't take a chisel and hammer, because if they did, they would start putting their own twist on it. What do I want it to look like? I'm going to put this emblem on there. I'm going to put that design on there. And the Lord doesn't want that. The Lord doesn't want that. And when we worship, well, in any aspect of our lives, God wants what He commands of us. No more and no less. No more and no less. In every aspect. Deuteronomy 12 tells us not to add to or to diminish from the commandments of God. We don't add to, we don't diminish. We do it just as the Lord commanded. We worship, we serve Him in our families, we serve Him in our work, everything just as He's commanded us. And I'm convinced that it's not really that hard for us to know what's right and wrong most of the time. The hard part is doing it. We know right from wrong. Even if we didn't come up in the church reading the Word of God, the light of day tells us, creation tells us that there's a God and He has lordship over us. And we're to serve Him and we're to trust Him. And we're to do all His commandments each and every day. I have a little illustration here. If you decided you were going to have a steak dinner, and you went to a restaurant, and you ordered the biggest T-bone steak that you could think of, that you could find on the menu, and you ordered a baked potato, and you're sitting there, and so the waiter took your order, he goes off to the kitchen, and you're sitting there sipping your tea or your Coke or whatever, your mouth's watering, you're smelling steak from around you, you're getting hungry, and then out of the corner of your eye, here comes the waiter. He's got your plate. He puts it down in front of you, and it's a piece of baked chicken and green beans. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but is that what you ordered? Would you accept that? Or would you tell that waiter, you're the waiter and I'm here to be waited on. You're the server and I'm here to be served. Well, how's it any different from our Lord? He's given us the commandments that He wants us to do, and that is to put Him first in every aspect of our life. And when we don't, we're giving Him a chicken dinner. And that's not what He ordered. And that's not what He wants. And so let's go over and let's look at someone, an example of someone that God maybe wasn't so merciful to as those that spoke here last night. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. King Saul, he's about to lose his kingdom. He's about to be rejected of God. And so I'm not going to read all this. But y'all know the story. God came to Samuel and told Samuel that Israel was to go destroy the Amalekites. Every man, woman, and child, every animal and every herd, every animal and every flock. And what did King Saul do? Did he do that? He saved alive the king and the best of the herds and the best of the flocks. And the Lord came to Samuel again and told him what Saul had done. And so Samuel confronts Saul and asks him if he had done the commandments of the Lord. And Saul said he had. And so what did Samuel say? He said, well, what's this bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen I hear? And Saul says, well, I'm going to do it my way. I brought the king back, And the best of the sheep, the best of the herds, and the best of the flock, and I'm going to offer them as a sacrifice before the people. Now, you know, Saul's no dummy. He knows that he can get some political clout from putting on a show. He knows that a picture is worth 1,000 words. And if he can show the people that he's carrying out, that he is sacrificing, that'll gain him some political clout. But is that what the Lord commanded him to do? It's not. Saul brought him a chicken dinner. He was going to do it. He was going to do what the Lord said, but he was going to do it on his own terms. And we cannot do that. We have to give 100%, be 100% sold out to the commandments of God, which is always, every day, in every aspect of our lives, putting Him first. So everything we must do must conform to the pattern found in this book and every commandment. And when we do that, is that going to make us loved by our fellow men? Are we going to win any popularity contest? We're not. We're going to be hated of all men for His sake. Let's turn to Matthew 10:22, and I'll read this as the final. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he, and now here comes the promise, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Isn't it great that we have a merciful God that will take sinners like you and I, and even when we stray, He pulls us back and puts us on that path that He has marked out for us to follow. Thank you.